And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. We are so happy to have you back in this week. We are so happy because it's game week in the Big Ten. We have college football in the Big Ten this weekend. We are pumped. This episode's going to be epic. We're going to love it. You're going to love it. Lane, are you as excited as I am?
I'm excited, but you're pretty jacked up this evening.
Yeah. Little spoiler alert. I've just won some more sports memorabilia about 5 minutes before we push start here. So I'm running a little high on adrenaline right now. But that's for your guys' benefit, because that means this podcast will be all that much more better.
Exactly. You're riding that emotional high.
Yep. So anyways, looking into this episode, first of all, thank you to all of you guys for coming back. If you haven't, please follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter. Also, thank you to the Watershed Voice for kind of partnering with us and helping us branch out. If you have not, please look into the Watershed Voice. They are a great source for your local news, anything from politics to sports to just local stuff in the community. They kind of touch on it all, and it's a great little outlet. Lane, what were you saying? That was $6 a month, something like that?
Yeah, I think it's like $6.50 or $6.75 a month. And that's for the yearly subscription, which that's what I ended up subscribing to. Pretty affordable. I mean, if you're a fat guy like me, that's 3 double cheeseburgers a month. So,
that is a sacrifice, but some things need to be made, I guess. So
it's for the greater good.
So looking into this week, we will recap last week's scores for the local high school football, as well as touch on the Mendon Centerville volleyball matchup and some other local sports that we've picked up on, and then we will preview this coming week's games. There are quite a few COVID games that are, or I guess not games, forfeits that are taking place right now with all the stuff going on. So the slate's getting a little thinner headed towards the playoffs, but we will preview all of that. And then after our local stuff, we will get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. We will touch on Michigan State's schedule, predictions, kind of what we think, how we think the season will go. And then we'll bring back arguably our most popular segment, would you say?
I would definitely say so. I've got a beautiful championship belt staring me in my mug right now.
Oh boy. Yeah. So if you're not aware, that is our pick'em segment where we go through and pick games, and we'll kind of, for anybody that's new, we'll kind of explain that and kind of go over a little bit when we get to it, but we will pick Big Ten games and kind of how we think those will go. And then we will wrap up with a Lions victory. And
too often.
Yeah, well, it was actually a good win against a team they should beat. So they're ruining a draft pick yet again. But Lane will give you some more thoughts on the victory 34-16 over the Jaguars. So we'll do that, and then we'll shut this puppy down. So I think before we get started, the only big news topic we wanted to touch on was the World Series. So it is set. It is the Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Boo.
Boo.
Yeah, we wanted Braves Rays. That was like the thing. But I guess, Lane, what do you feel about this World Series? Do you think the Dodgers finally get their win? It's been 30 years, something. It's been a long time since they've won one.
You know, I personally think they do. They're on such a roll right now. And you saw really what they could do in the latter half of the series against the Braves. I mean, unfortunately, it's a situation where I think money talks. And I mean, Kershaw alone is making more the entire Rays organization. So I mean, unfortunately, I do. I think the Dodgers taking it like 6.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is, man, the Rays have just been a team of destiny all year. They've been the number one team in the American League, but nobody saw it coming. I'm hoping. I want the Rays to win. This is a season of parity, and I think it would be great to have something a little different.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I mean, and it really sucks that all this COVID stuff's going on, because the Rays organization doesn't get as much fan appreciation as it should.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone down to the Trop and watched them play the Tigers, and I mean, it was a ghost town. No, granted, this was when the Rays weren't as good. But man, that would be really something for that city, for the Lightning to win, the Rays to win. I mean, who?
And it would put it all on TV12, right?
And they absolutely throttled the Pack. So
yeah. Oh, and Oh, I just lost my train of thought. I was going to say something else there. Now I can't remember what it was, so I guess it wasn't very important. Oh, I remember now. I knew it would come back to me. I saw an interesting thing with the World Series is Clayton Kershaw makes more than the entire Rays starting rotation.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So this is a drastic difference in payrolls, a drastic difference in roster makeup and everything. So it will be interesting to say the least.
It's going
to
be a fun one. What I think will be interesting is you're not getting that home ballpark feel and advantage. Yeah. So, yep. I mean,
and I kind of like it.
I do too. I mean, not like I feel like if the Rays were home in the Trop, I think that would cause problems.
Yeah, because that dome is just so screwy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but I really want the Rays to win. I just don't know if they've got the mustard. I hope they do. I'm pulling for them, mm-hmm. but I do think the Dodgers get it. But I see it going 6 or 7 also.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good series.
Hopefully. So with that, I think, do we have any other news you wanted to hit on, or should we go ahead and take a quick break and get into our local sports?
Nah, man, let's roll. All right, everybody, it is time for us to break down some high school sports from the past week. Pretty convincing wins for some local teams, with some conference title implications involved. Yeah. Unfortunately, some other games that weren't as kind to some of our local teams.
They were convincing nonetheless.
They were convincing, just not how we wanted them to be convincing.
Yeah.
So with that, Jordan, what you got for us?
So yeah, looking at our first game on the board, Three Rivers ended up going to Ithaca to play the Yellow Jackets, with Plainwell having to cancel for COVID. Not kind for the Wildcats again. They fall to 0-5 on the season with a 51-7 loss. I know Ithaca is a good program, but that's a school that is substantially smaller. So that's an unsettling feeling there to see the Wildcats go down like that.
Yeah, Ithaca really just, like I said, it was pretty dominant. 553 total yards to 201 for the Wildcats. Looks like overall, just really couldn't get anything going offensively. It looks like penalty-wise, Three Rivers wasn't too bad. It just looks like turnover bug got him again.
Yeah, been a common theme for the Cats all year. Next game, Sturgis traveled to Otsego. Another tough one for the Trojans. They fall to 2-3 on the year, lose 35-7 to the Bulldogs. Sturgis really needs some momentum, and they've lost 3 in a row now after starting out 2-0. But a tough stretch for the Trojans.
Yeah, I don't have any stats for this game. It definitely was a rebound, I know, for Otsego. Like I said, Sturgis has got to right the ship pretty quickly.
Yeah. They got a Plainwell next week, so we'll see how that goes for them, if mm-hmm. there's even a game there. So next game, Cass was supposed to go to Mendon. Mendon won by forfeit. Was that a COVID forfeit as well, or was there something more there?
I do not know, to tell you the truth. I hadn't seen anything saying it was COVID. I'm almost assuming maybe it was injury related, but if anybody knows, we would.
Yeah, I've got nothing. Everything I see mm-hmm. just says forfeit. There's nothing else, no other detail on it. So I guess we'll just read on. The big game last week, Constantine went to Kalamazoo United with a shot at the conference title on the line. Falcons get a big win, moved to 4-1 on the year. They go 43-28 over Kalamazoo United. And like I said, that earns them a share of the
Southwest Athletic Conference.
That's what it is. I didn't have it pulled up in front of me. So they get a share of that, and looks like they can win it outright next week with a big matchup against Coloma.
Yeah, I mean, Constantine Falcons came and did some work. And also, a side note there, Coach Griffith is now the all-time leader in wins for Constantine.
Yep, past Tim Baker, I believe, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Griff's been there for a long time. So it's good for him, good for Constantine.
Fun fact, he was my driver's training instructor.
Oh, now there you go.
See? Yeah.
Moving forward, another forfeit for us. Unfortunately for White Pigeon, sounds like their entire school district is having COVID issues right now, so they had to forfeit to Decatur. You hope they can get everything straightened out and cleaned up. As you know, we've been riding high on the Chiefs there for a while,
mm-hmm.
and it would be a real bummer if they can't get back ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if they can't, just an unfortunate thing. COVID is no good, so you're hoping that these guys can turn around this upcoming week.
Yeah, it's wreaking havoc on everybody right now. Mm-hmm. So, eight-man football, Burr Oak blows out Litchfield 60-0. They win their conference title outright. So Bobcats just keep rolling towards their postseason.
Yeah, Burr Oak doing Burr Oak things. I mean, that's really been a theme for us. Matthew Green, 3 for 5, 50 yards, 2 TDs. Rushing-wise, Branson Hernandez, 97 yards, 3 touchdowns. Just an overall dominant win. With that win, they do win their SCAA Division B title. So, yeah, keep on rolling Bobcats.
Yeah, they're points four against this year. That's 256-4 and 32 against. So that's dominance.
Yeah.
Our last football game we're going to touch on, Colon goes to Climax Scots and handles, I believe it's the Scots, is their mascot, 49-6.
Yeah, no, I mean, Colon, we were kind of curious last week if this is going to be a close game, and it wasn't at all. I mean, Colon, 391-109. Passing wise, Colon, Simon Vinson, 5 for 11, 111 yards, 1 touchdown. Rushing wise, he also got it done on the ground, 180 for 2 TDs.
Yeah. That was all we really had for football last week. We did preview Mendon volleyball and Centerville going at it for the Southwest 10 conference title, and the Hornets redeemed the football team with a dominant win over the Bulldogs.
Yeah, they definitely exercised their demons from last season. Centerville was really their only real bump in the road for a state title for them. They won it in 3 sets. Yeah. So sky's the limit for really both volleyball teams this season.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see if Mendon can make another big run. And then one other thing that happened this past week, the Three Rivers boys soccer team moved on to the district final. Did not see who they were playing in that final. Do you have that there in front of you?
Yes. This Thursday night, they are playing St. Joe at Vicksburg at 6 p.m.
Nice. So good luck to the Wildcat soccer team. Hope they can bring home a district title.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I think that kind of recaps last week, and we'll go in here and look at week 6 previews. Again, it's kind of touch and go right now. There's a lot of COVID stuff going on. As of right now, from what I can see, Three Rivers does not play because they were supposed to play Allegan, and Allegan has canceled the remainder of their season. Kind of like Allegan's not very good anyways. So they're like, let's just, we're going to cut bait here and call it a quits.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I would have guessed Three Rivers is going to try to pick up somebody before the playoffs. If not, they'll just get ready for their first playoff game.
Yeah, and in my opinion, I definitely think that might not be a bad thing that Three Rivers does get a little bit of a break, give a chance to heal up, kind of evaluate.
Yeah.
And really nail down those X's and O's.
Yeah. Looking forward, Sturgis at Plainwell. Plainwell is still now 3-1 overall, 2-1 in conference, but they've had, was it their last two games? Mm-hmm. The last game they had to forfeited against Edwardsburg. They won last week against Otsego.
Yeah.
And they won 2 weeks against Otsego, and they were open last week. So, big game for the Trojans. Like I said, they're on a 3-game losing streak. They really need some positive momentum going into the playoffs to try to get a little bit of a push here.
Yeah, absolutely. It got to right that ship pretty quick.
Yep. And then Mendon, same boat here. Muskegon Heights has canceled their season for COVID, so Mendon has no opponent. Maybe they try to pick somebody up. Otherwise, they push for the playoffs. Either way, I think it's Mendon. They'll be ready for the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach will be ready, have them focus, ready, rock and roll. Because Selection Sunday is this Sunday, correct?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think so. It's usually the Sunday after, but everything's so wonky right now.
Yes, yep.
Next game, probably the biggest game on the docket for the conference or the county, Constantine at Coloma. Constantine wins the conference outright with a win, a split if they lose. Coloma is 4-1 on the year right now, so looks to be a pretty good matchup. The numbers all look pretty well for and against. I will say Kalamazoo United beat Coloma earlier this year, so the like opponents. Constantine dominated United last week, so that like opponents category kind of leans towards the Falcons.
Yeah, definitely. If I were to take a team, I'd take the Falcons this week just to roll and get Coach Griff another win on the old board and get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think we can see a lot of rushing yards in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, White Pigeon. Now, again, this is very up in the air still. Like we said, they've had a lot of COVID issues, but assuming everything gets back on the board, they're scheduled to go to Leslie and play the Blackhawks, who sit at 2-3 right now. White Pigeon, really, I think they're a team that could really benefit from playing. You know, like we kind of said, Three Rivers could use a week off maybe. I think Pigeon needs to play to get ready for the playoffs, just to get some more positive momentum going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean the benefit to a situation like this is they can get healthy. The negative is you don't want to come in cold.
Right, yeah. Going into 8-man again, Burr Oak has a big one. The Portland St. Patrick Shamrocks. Never heard of them, but they are 5-0 on the year to go with Burr Oak's 5-0. It looks like St. Patrick last year lost in the state championship game. So you're looking at a pretty good team here. It'll be a really, really good test for Burr Oak.
Yeah, and on top of that, it could be potentially history for Burr Oak if they beat Portland St. Patrick. They'll be the first ever undefeated football season.
Yeah, hopefully that we'll see. It'll be a good test, and we'll see where they stack up in the playoff.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Mix.
And our last game, Colon at Battle Creek St. Phil. From what I look at here, I think the Magi are probably going to roll in this. St. Phil's 1-4 on the year, and they've really been dominated by most of the teams they played, so I expect Colon to really roll here.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think the Magi rolled big in this one.
Yep. So a couple other things that we didn't address, I guess, was the new state rankings came out, I believe, Monday. And we have three teams ranked this week. In Division 6, Constantine comes in at number 10 overall. In Division 8, Centerville has moved all the way up to number 2 in the state, behind, I believe, only Reading.
Which, that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, they were 6 or 7 before, so the Bulldogs really asserting themselves in Division 8 this year. And then an 8-man, Colon comes in 9th, and then just another note, Burr Oak was, as another team mentioned, so I think if Burr Oak gets a win this week, we'll see them crack the top 10 as well going into the playoffs.
Yeah, could be a very interesting week for some local teams.
Yeah, so a couple teams here look like they're poised for a good postseason run, and a couple teams that really need some momentum going into it. So, I don't know. Do you have any other – was there any other local sports we wanted to hit?
I think we missed Mount Morris at Centerville this week.
Did we miss that?
I think we did. Did we? I thought we did.
Oh, yep. I must have breezed right over that. So, yeah, we'll roll back to that. How dare I leave out the second-ranked Bulldogs.
Damn it, Jordan. You're so hyped up on that merchandise win.
Well, I think I just – well, I don't read so good, so – Mount Morris comes in at 2-3 on the year. To me, this looks like a situation where Centerville should probably roll, mm-hmm. but you know, you can't get caught in those look ahead trap games. They need to stay strong here and just keep pushing forward.
Yeah, exactly. You really took the words out of my mouth on that one.
Yep, could be a definite trap game going into the playoffs. So, I think with that. Unless you have more you want to add, we can probably take a little break here, and we will get into the Big Ten season.
Let's get into some Big Ten football.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, everybody, you heard the music. If you're not familiar with what the hell that was, David Allen Coe singing Pick 'em, but it's a little expletive song, so we're not going to go too far into it.
We may have chopped and screwed a little bit to make it family friendly.
Yeah, a little more PG. But if you are familiar, it's your favorite segment. It's Pick 'em. Pick 'em is back.
I know it's my favorite segment.
Well, it's definitely mine as the defending champ.
Yeah.
So if you're a first-time listener or you're a new listener that's started listening to us since we've joined Watershed Voice, you may be asking yourself, what is Pick'em? So our Pick'em is very similar to kind of like the College Game Day does. They run through a list of games. They name off their picks, and we go from there. Now, in normal seasons, we'll do Big Ten, and then we'll throw in –
it was like 5 or 6 of the biggest games.
Yeah.
Like I think we did 14 games for 14 teams or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think that was about right. But this season, as we already know, a little bit different. So we're just doing Big Ten games this season. Yeah. But if there's a big game, like I know in a few weeks we've got Clemson and Notre Dame facing off, I'm sure that'll be on there.
Yeah, we'll have to throw in those just for fun.
Yeah, so we'll throw in some wild card games in there. But yeah, so then what also Jordan and I do is we play, quote unquote, play, pick for a title belt, which this beautiful title belt is staring me right in the face.
Yeah, not for long.
And it's saying to me, I don't want to leave you. I've been with you for a year. This is my home. Don't send me to Jordan.
To be fair, I gambled a lot at the end of the year and took some ballsy picks.
You did take some ballsy picks, and they almost paid off.
But unfortunately, I am a loser.
You're not a loser, Jordan. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, I did lose. It's a fact. It's math. I mean, your math doesn't lie.
Math doesn't lie. All right.
This new math, though, who knows? That shit's confusing.
Yeah, this stuff. I'm not getting into that. All right. So, Jordan, do you wanna lead us into our picks for the week?
Let's do this. So we go in order of start time. So Friday night games will be first, and then noon through the night games, when we will tend to do is if there's a bigger game, we will push that towards the end. But this week, the biggest game is kind of at the end. So we're just going to roll right on down in this with the time frame. So Friday night, Illinois goes up to Wisconsin at 8 o'clock. That will be a cold one to take on the Badgers. I'll start us off. I am taking the Badgers. It will be interesting, though, because with Jack Cohn hurt, Graham Mertz steps in as the starting quarterback, and he's a much different style quarterback than what Wisconsin's used to. He's more of a gunslinger type of guy. Like Jack Cohn's, Wisconsin's always been the game manager type of quarterback. That's not what Graham Mertz is. So it will be interesting to see what he does in his first start.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, looking over this docket of games, it's going to be an interesting weekend to see, because there's been a lot of change in the Big Ten this year. So it's going to be interesting to see who starts fast, who starts slow. Illinois could very well be a team that could pull an upset. But
Illinois is bringing a lot back. Yeah, they have a lot of talent.
Illinois is deep, but I'm with you. I'm taking the Badgers.
Yeah. Moving into the Saturday games, noon kick. Rutgers goes to East Lansing to take on Sparty. Lane, why don't you start us off here, given it's your boys?
This game, I think, is going to be a lot closer than it should be. Just a lot of change for MSU. Mel Tucker coming in. I'm still taking Sparty, but I could see this game being like a 27-23 kind of game.
Boy, that really can't be the case for Michigan State. I think they got the perfect draw having Rutgers first, because then you get your kind of pseudo-bye, because I think Rutgers is far and away the worst team. Now, Greg Schiano will get it turned around there, and Rutgers does have a few weapons out there, but I think talent-wise, top to bottom, Michigan State is still better, so I will take Sparty. But who do you think starts at quarterback?
You know, I think they're going to go roll Lombardi. But I wouldn't be surprised to see all three of them play this weekend.
That's what I was just going to say. I think you see all three of them play.
Because they're going to need to figure it out pretty quick for next weekend.
Yep, absolutely. So moving forward, also at noon, take your medicine and shut up game. Nebraska pissed off the Big Ten, so they get to go to Ohio State and get absolutely trounced to start the season. I have a feeling this game's over by halftime, and they got the Buckeyes big, and they will cover. I don't even know what the line is, but they will cover.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent line. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm Justin Fields starts leading off a Heisman campaign this weekend.
Unfortunately, it hurts my soul. But next game, 3:30 in Bloomington, Indiana. The Penn State Nittany Lions come in to face the Hoosiers. Indiana coming off one of their better seasons and a lot of hype in Bloomington this year. I mean, Michael Penix, if he can stay healthy at quarterback, really big for the Hoosiers. We did just learn today about Penn State losing star running back Journey Brown, likely for the year. They haven't said exactly what it was that he was dealing with, but he was dealing with something. So that means guys like Noah Kane are going to have to step up and really carry the load, because Journey Brown was probably considered the best running back in the conference.
Yeah.
Would you say?
I would say so. Yeah, I would.
So where are you at here? What do you think?
Now, Micah Parsons is also sitting out, isn't he?
Yeah, Mike, he's opted out.
Okay, he opted out. I mean, you know, that the running back news is big for Penn State, because I definitely think that shapes the trajectory of the rest of the season. But I think Penn State wins, but I think it's going to be a close one.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's close, and I am actually taking the Hoosiers. There's something about Penn State I don't like. That defense was decent last year, but they lose Yuta Gross-Matos. Obviously, we just said Parsons isn't playing. They have a new offensive coordinator coming over, Kurt Schiracca from Minnesota, so they're trying to learn a new scheme. All honesty, Sean Clifford wasn't anything special last year. Is he that much better in a new offense? I don't know. I think there's just a lot of familiarity for Indiana, and I think the Hoosiers get the upset week one.
All right. Our first difference.
Yeah, buddy, and it's going to work. The Hoosiers.
The Hoosiers.
So moving forward, another 3:30 game. Iowa going to West Lafayette to take on the Boilermakers. Big news for them is Rondell Moore is playing. He's back. So you see probably a first-round pick, if not early second in him. That's a great talent to put with David Bell in Purdue. So Jeff Brom's got to be super happy there. Iowa, another team that just has always kind of been Iowa.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They lose Nate Stanley. It's just one of those teams I don't know a whole lot about. But I think the explosiveness of Purdue, I'm taking the Boilers.
I like it. Now, with Jeff Brom, I know he tested positive for COVID. And I'm reading here, and it says he's going to miss the opener.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
So Brom's missing the opener. So does that affect your choice at all?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, because I had this as like a 2 or 3 point game close, but I think with him being out, that scares me a little bit because he's the play caller essentially in that offense. So I'm going to switch. I'm going to take Iowa with that. I appreciate the knowledge.
No problem, man. See, I'm a grateful champion. Yeah. You know, I'm going to take Iowa as well. I think there's some stuff going on with Kirk Ferentz now and a possible lawsuit or something like that.
There's a lot going on.
So, I mean, both two programs with a lot going on with their head coaches. I think Iowa's going to Iowa. So I'm taking the Hawkeyes here.
Yeah, it'll be an ugly drudge of a game. So we have then 2 7:30 games. We'll save the one for last, given it's the game of the week. 7:30, Maryland goes to Northwestern. Very intriguing game. Because you have Maryland, who's been in the bottom half of the East, and you have Northwestern, who was god-awful last year in the West. Northwestern does bring in Peyton Ramsey, transfer quarterback from Indiana, so that helps a situation where they struggled mightily last year as quarterback. They have a new offensive coordinator at Northwestern, which, based on their offensive numbers last year, is very needed. Maryland has Tua Tagovailoa's little brother, Talia, eligible. Sounds like he's been announced QB1, so he'll be starting for Maryland. This game is extremely interesting to me because I don't think either team is going to be great, but I think the best part of either team is Northwestern's defense, so I'll take the Wildcats in an ugly, nasty, dirty game that nobody's going to watch because of the other game.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Jordan. I'm going to take Northwestern as well. I'm also going to take Northwestern just because of coaching. Pat Fitzgerald has been a staple for that program for forever. It does sound like you said, that Talia Tagovailoa is going to start, but it also sounds like they're going to be doing some rotating in there. So,
yeah, it's not his job by
any means. So I'm with you. I'm taking Northwestern, and it's like you said, it's going to be a knockdown, just dirty, nasty game.
Yeah, I think Northwestern's linebacking core is probably the best unit altogether, so I'll take the Cats there. And then moving into College game day, which is terrible for, in my opinion, because of what it does to Michigan. But, you know, 7:30 in Minnesota, the Wolverines travel up to take on DeGolfers. Minnesota, it's going to be cold up there in Minnesota. They're basically in Canada.
Yeah, don't you know, Bobby.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting game. You talk about two teams that have a lot of turnover, a lot of different coming in, different feelings amongst the fan bases. You know, PJ Fleck had Minnesota 11-win season. They dominate Auburn at a bowl game, but they lose like 8 or 9 starters on defense. They lose an NFL wide receiver. They lose their leading running back. They lost a lot. They do bring back Rashad Bateman. They do bring back Tanner Morgan. They do bring back their running back. Gosh dang it.
That's going to bug me. He was their second leading rusher last year, and actually as a true freshman was their leading rusher. So they do bring back a good running back. Their offensive line is massive. And then you have all the things we talked about last week with Michigan, you know, breaking in Joe Milton. Ambry Thomas is out at corner, so who's going to cover Rashad Bateman? It's going to be an interesting game. It's going to tell a lot about both teams because I think it sets the stage for, is the West a two-team race or is it strictly Wisconsin? And does Michigan have a shot to even threaten Penn State and Ohio State? So, to me, I'm obviously going to take the Wolverines. I'm just really, really, really looking forward to see what Joe Milton looks like in game one.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a it's going to be an interesting game because, I mean, that's, and it's very much the theme of week one here. There's been so much turnover in the Big Ten this year. Like you said, Minnesota, yeah. Like, normally, if they would have kept maybe half of those players that went NFL bound last year, I mean, you could be looking at a potential national top 10 team. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, absolutely. Even you could argue that with Michigan, too. I mean, they're returning some really good talent. I mean, Joel Milton, if he's as good as advertised, it's going to be an interesting game. But I am going to take Minnesota.
I knew this was coming.
I think there's too much talent returning at the positions that it needs to return at. I'm going to take, until Harbaugh can prove that he can win big games like this on the road, I'm taking Minnesota.
No, and that's a fair argument. The one thing I will say about on the road is there's no fans. And there's been a lot of different of the experts, let's call them, that have tried to figure out the difference of fans versus no fans on the road. And they say that a traditional road game with fans is usually worth 3.5 to 4 points. And this year it's been down to about 2 points,
okay,
is what they're kind of figuring the aggregate is. And Michigan is a 2.5 point favorite on the open.
All right.
So I do think this will be a very close game. I'm interested. There's so many unknowns, like you said. It's going to be a fun game. I'm glad it's a night game. I think the city of Minnesota or the state of Minnesota deserves it because I don't think they've ever had game day up there.
No. Did they have one last year, though, at the end of the season?
I can't remember. Did they? I can't remember if they did it. They did
against Penn State, I want to say. Yeah, it was Wisconsin or Penn State.
So, yeah, you know what? I think it was the Penn State game. I think you're right. So it'll be a fun game to watch. I'm jacked up for it to be a 7:30 game. It sucks because I have to think about it all day long. But it'll be fun, and I think it will really tell a lot for the conference, honestly, because you talk about two of the top teams in each side squaring off week one. It's a statement week. If either team comes out and blows the other one out, it changes a lot of perspectives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, many years, this could be a potential Big Ten title game, I mean, early. Yep. So, I mean, it's
absolutely.
Like I said, a few weeks ago, Michigan kind of – got a little bit of the shaft O-line scheduling, but if they can win this one, I mean, sky's the limit for the Wolverines this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think with that, let's roll right into the rest of our schedules. We got a little bit of time here still. I think we can get it in here. So I'll just kind of look at the rest of Michigan's schedule since we're talking about Michigan right now. You can kind of interject here as you want. So obviously I said that Minnesota, I think they win. Next week against Sparty, no surprise there. I'm taking them to beat Sparty. And then the next two games for me are really, really, really big games because you have Indiana on the road and then at home against Wisconsin. And I've already shown that I like Indiana. I'm a believer in Indiana with them beating Penn State this week. The biggest thing for them will be if Michael Penix is healthy, because if he's healthy, it's a game changer for them because he's that big playmaker for them. I kind of think they fall at Indiana.
Okay.
So as of right now, I'm going to take a loss there. Just because, you know, you come off of Minnesota and then a rivalry with Michigan State. Yes, Michigan State's down, but it's still a rivalry. You might have a little bit of that gut punch there where they're just kind of beat up, tired. You never know with the COVID stuff. But then I think they get a good rebound with Wisconsin, beat Wisconsin. Obviously, I think a steamroll of Rutgers. Then you got Penn State, Maryland, Ohio State to wrap up the year. Penn State, to me, again, I think I kind of previewed it with the Indiana game. I just don't understand it. Now, maybe Saturday, by the time the Michigan game starts, I'll completely reverse course on them. But I just feel like it's too much hype for a team that's lost so much.
I mean, Micah Parsons is gone. Yes, they have Pat Freiermuth, but, I mean, now they lose Journey Brown. I'm not a fan of Sean Clifford. So I like Michigan to beat Penn State. I like Michigan to blow out Maryland. And then there's that game at the end of the year that we just won't talk about because it doesn't do any good to talk about it. My hope is that we can be competitive in that game this year. I don't know, expect anybody to win that game. So all in total there, I have Michigan at what? It's 8-game schedule, so 6-2. I do think that 7-1 is the ceiling. 5-3 is the floor. I think if you get to 5-3, and you're going to have a really unhappy fan base. Because no matter what the turnover is, there's a lot of talent on this roster. And I think in every single game that they play, except for that last game of the year, they will line up with, they'll be as talented or more talented than everybody they play. So if that's the case, you should win those games. If you're an elite program, if we want to be an elite program, you've got to win those games. So now, obviously, like you said, this first week, there's so many things that we just don't know. We'll find out a whole lot more after Saturday.
Now, Jordan, they're doing bowl games again this year as well, right?
Yeah, and it sounds like they changed the rules on the bowl games now where you don't even have to be 500 to make a bowl game.
Really?
So basically, everybody's bowl eligible, and the bowls are going to pick who they want. That's kind of what it comes like. Yeah, it's stupid. Bowl games are so pointless anymore. Yeah,
that's kind of weird.
But then then there's obviously championship week, and I'm not going to make a prediction on that because I don't know who they're going to play because the Big Ten said they don't want to do like opponents, and the odds, the way it lines up with Michigan, would more than likely play Wisconsin or Minnesota. So I think it might end up being an Iowa or a Purdue maybe. Okay. Even. So we'll see kind of how that falls. Any of those teams, obviously Wisconsin, Minnesota, they won't play, but Iowa, Purdue wouldn't scare me. Purdue would scare me more than Iowa, honestly, but we'll see kind of as that comes. But I'm saying 6-2 is my guess. 7-1 is the ceiling. 5-3 is the floor.
Okay.
So how do you feel about the rest of Sparty?
I mean, Sparty, like we've already talked about last week, a lot of turnover, different look. What does Mel Tucker's Michigan State-led team look like? How does the schedule shake out? Has a decent stretch there where it could get ugly potentially. Like I said, this weekend, I think they open up with a win against Rutgers. Next week is hate week on Halloween. So I also have Michigan State losing to Michigan. I just think there's too much talent in Ann Arbor right now. Michigan State is getting back. I feel like they will, but it's going to be a tough test that early. Then they're on the road at Iowa. I also have them losing that game. Iowa's always such a pain in the ass to play in, and then you get add in snow or rain or
and it's at Kinnick because there's just some bad juju.
And there's always one game where Iowa just completely stomps somebody and you don't see it coming, and that could be that game. I do have them beating Indiana at home. I do think that's going to be a very close game, but I do like Michigan State at home. They go on the road to Maryland. I like them winning that game. I think Loxley is building up a better program, but I don't think Maryland's there just yet. Then the bane to our existence, Northwestern at home. that's a team that we, under Mark D'Antonio, never could beat. I think we get over that hump. So I do think Mel Tucker leads us to a victory against Northwestern. Then we have Ohio State at home. Ohio State is Ohio State. I think they're going to steamroll basically everybody this year. So I have them losing that game. And then on the 12th of December, they're in Indianapolis and they're playing Penn State. Now this Penn State team, like you said, has already started getting a lot of changes. I have them losing that game. But I could see them winning it. So for me, I think a 4-4 season is likely. I'm saying 6-4 with a crossover and a bowl game win is the absolute top. And then I'm saying the floor is 3-6 with a crossover loss.
So the one thing I see there is we both have very different opinions on Indiana. I honestly think Indiana could push to be the second best team in the East this year. If they stay healthy, that would be the biggest thing for them. They lose Penix in the negative.
Well, and that's my thought, is that Indiana has – Penix hasn't stayed healthy, so I'm going to assume that that's going to be the case this season.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's completely possible.
I don't know, man. It's going to be –
It'll be interesting, and like I said, we're going to know a hell of a lot more.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
Yep, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. All right. You have any other thoughts or do you want to take a break?
And let's talk some NFL, man.
All right, everybody. We are going to bring in our last segment here, touch on a little bit of Lions football as they get a pretty convincing win in Jacksonville, 34-16 over the Jaguars. I actually did watch the full game for once because the Lions didn't Lions. I mean, they got up 14-0, and my wife's like, here we go again.
Like, yeah, yeah, I did
gonna,
too.
They're going to do it again. Watch. But they didn't. They won convincingly, and all in all, felt like they looked pretty good. Big game from DeAndre Swift.
Very big.
Yeah, Lane, how do you feel? Are you feeling a little better? Is it playoff time?
It is definitely not playoff time, my friend. the Lions did what they were supposed to do. They came in and they won a game against a very bad and beaten up Jacksonville team. Gardner Minshew is the worst quarterback we'll probably face this year. Maybe Kirk Cousins vying for that spot. Overall, though, I mean, the Lions did what they were supposed to do. DeAndre Swift had an absolute monster game. I think he actually won NFC Rookie of the Week for his performance. I do think he needs to be the leading bell cow going forward. It was different for him this game because they allowed him to find the holes and be patient and then burst through them, similar to what he did at Georgia.
Yeah.
And I think if they continue to do that offensively, I think you're going to see a big year from him. Now, which is a kind of a common theme with this Lions team, is there's never a same starting lineup. Lions offensive line shifted people around again this week. Jonah Jackson didn't play as much, which in my opinion has been one of the best rookies in the NFL this season. Mm-hmm. Frank Ragnow was supposed to be out, but he was game time decision. Actually turned in an awesome performance with a groin injury. Jared Davis, the past two games, has actually performed very well. He was the highest PFF ranked player this week for the Lions at a score of 95.2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the caveat to both of those is he was a 94.5 last week or 2 weeks ago, and the 95.2 this week. He's played 19 and 11 snaps.
Huh.
So not as many snaps, but playing well when he's in. I definitely think Tyrell Crosby, which if you follow me on Twitter, is basically becoming my dude, like my number one Lions guy, is again just putting in another fantastic performance at right tackle. Absolutely just dominating off the line, pancaking players all over the place. A really good performance from him. Jamie Collins had a great game. And Stafford actually came away and had a decent game, a lot of different arm rotations. Some of the throws he was performing, if Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or somebody like that were to do it, I think ESPN would be talking about it for the next 60 years. But no, overall, Lions did very well. I definitely don't think it's time to say it's playoffs, because they've got a nice test against Atlanta this week, and they're at Atlanta. I mean, the bane to our existence this year has been our secondary. With that being said, though, last week we only played man coverage less than 40% of the time. If we do play man coverage against a Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley-led Falcons team, we're going to get eaten alive.
Right.
Overall, I do feel confident going into this game, but I felt confident every game. I mean, and we've seen what happens. I think it's going to be a shootout. I don't think either defenses are going to show up this week. I think a big test for the Lions front five is they really haven't had a test outside of Khalil Mack, like they're going to get with Grady Jarrett from the Falcons. It's going to be a good game. If I had to pick, I would say I think the Lions do pull out a victory, but I think it's going to be like a 34-30, just kind of classic shootout. I think if you can keep Julio and Calvin Ridley at bay, I think it is absolutely the Lions game to win. But every NFL, every team this year, even though the Falcons are 1-5, have struggled to contain both of them at the same time. So,
right. I think, in my opinion, this is a game that if the playoffs want to be a goal, it's a must win.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If they lose this game, the playoffs, in my opinion, are done. The way the rest of the schedule sets up, I just don't see enough wins. Now, if they were in the NFC East or West, is it the East?
It's the East.
Yeah, that's absolutely dog shit right now. Then sure, but they're not. They have Green Bay and Chicago, who are both still winning. I mean,
you've
got to win this week.
Well, yeah, and Chicago is probably the worst, best team in the NFL. I think I've seen. They're one of the luckiest teams, I think, in the NFL.
Right.
But no, I mean, the Lions, for the next few weeks, do have a favorable schedule just because of the way the records shake out. Because they've got Minnesota still twice in there. Minnesota's been god-awful. I mean, you got Atlanta. But, I mean, I think Atlanta's a way better team than their record's letting on, because they're on the opposite end of the spectrum of the Bears, where they've been losing games in heartbreaking fashion. So,
right. Yeah, it'll be interesting, because, you know, Matt Ryan's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which one are you going to get? And you get the good one, like you said, with Ridley, it could be ugly. I mean, Okuda has not completely impressed me yet, and him being the number one is just kind of scares me.
Well, and I think the biggest problem with Okuda is he had his best game as a professional last week. And I think that's because they maximize on a pass rush. And you can't be reliant on a rookie to guard teams' number ones in man coverage for 10 to 15 seconds. I mean, that's high school rules. Like, you can't give a quarterback 15 seconds to throw.
Yeah, no, I agree. Level. I agree completely.
So
it's interesting, but like I said, this is 100% a must-win game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I do think if they lose, I mean, I do think if they do lose, and to say if they lose after another blown double-digit lead, I mean, Patricia needs to go at that point. It's time. Let's start fresh. Try and salvage what we can.
Yeah, should they lose, Tank for Trevor is engaged.
Man, I think the Jets are going to beat us to that one.
Yeah, they suck.
They are terrible.
They're awful.
Oh,
they're so bad.
Jets cut Le'Veon. Yeah, they're bad.
Yeah, their loss is the Chiefs game, too. Just another weapon to throw in that offense. Well, like they need it.
Yeah, right, and the Jets are already talking about trading off Quinn and Williams, their number one pick from 2 years ago. So, Detroit... if I were Bob Quinn, I'd be calling him, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, but what are they going to want? That's the thing.
Yeah,
you don't have a ton that you can afford to mortgage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very good point.
You're not exactly in a position where you can afford to give up pieces,
right?
You know?
Yeah, you're not a Tampa Bay or somebody like that.
It would be nice to get a premier edge rusher, though, or of some form this year.
Yeah, that would be – Trey Flowers, also, speaking of edge rushers, he had a pretty good game last week. I would –
He definitely seemed like he was in the picture more.
Yeah, it's going to be – if they maximize a good pass rush, I could see him being a force for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Would have been nice to have a Chase Young type of guy.
Yeah, but draft, I think Washington was going to want a King's ransom for him.
I'm talking about the draft. So – yeah, I guess it'll be interesting. They got to get that win if they want the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not going to be easy.
No. It's never easy for Detroit sports. Never.
No, well, that's ain't that a fact. So, I don't know. You got anything else, or do we want to just go ahead and close this down?
Nah, man, I think I'm good. Again, thank you guys for tuning in to us for another week. Thank you to the Watershed Voice for allowing us to be a part of the family. If you haven't yet, make sure you check them out. They also do have some free stories out there for you guys to read. All podcasts for Watershed Voice are free. And on top of that, if you haven't, make sure you like us, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our Instagram game is pretty soft, so we got to get better at that. But other than that, thank you guys. Stay safe and go green.
Go blue.